You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, God's Unchanging Mercy. And now here is Dr. Schultz.
After he had studied extensively the current breakdown of morality and ethics in the United States, a member of the American Enterprise Institute said that the breakdown of culture has never happened this rapidly before in history, at any other time or in any other place. Now, if you today are one of those who is not all that concerned about the changing and declining morals and values of our culture and the consequences, then listen closely. One scholar using statistics gathered in 1988 made the following conclusion. The United States today has the highest rate of babies born outside of marriage. We have the highest proportion of children living with only one parent. We have the highest rate of abortion among young women. We have the highest level of infant mortality among developed nations. We have the heaviest rate of male homicides. We have the highest rate of divorce among young couples. And as a consequence, we have the highest proportion of children who are forced to witness the tragic divorce of their parents. In much of secular journalism, there is the idea that a society's value system is a product of man's imagination, and that, as society changes, so also values will and must change. Now, it is indeed true that certain values of any society are indeed the product of that particular society. However, the foundation of all morality is God and His holy word. Our fundamental moral system does not change. In the Bible, in the book of Malachi chapter 3, we hear the Lord speak when He says, I am the Lord, I do not change. The changelessness of God is a surprise to many people. Because of his lust of the flesh, modern man may try to create a society of flexible and even optional morals and values. And yet by so doing, modern man gets into serious trouble and, as the psalmist says, he brings upon himself his own judgment. Unless we are willing to conduct our lives by solid principles as laid down in the Bible and the proven traditional values of a moral society, then our future is not only uncertain, it is indeed doomed to upheaval, despair, and even destruction. God's judgment toward sin has not and never will change. In our text for today, we read, I am the Lord, and I do not change. This is true for God's hatred of and terrible judgment upon all sin. But there is also the good news. God's promise that He does not change is also true for His gospel of forgiveness and hope. In our text for today, from the Scriptures we read, For I, the Lord, do not change, and therefore you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. A couple minutes ago, I referred to some facts recently compiled showing the broken state of our society and our families. But these facts can never tell the whole story. These impersonal statistics don't begin to tell of the thousands of broken hearts, the scores of guilt-filled consciences of husbands and wives, the numerous regrets now torturing fathers and mothers, those who now wish that things would have gone better in their marriage. The cold statistics of unwed mothers can never communicate the regrets, the hurts, and even the despair of thousands who have found their future career in jeopardy or even destroyed due to an unexpected teen pregnancy outside of marriage. Added to all of this is the guilt and the regret of thousands and thousands of additional parents who wonder day and night, where did they go wrong in raising their children? Why did everything turn out so badly, even though they did the best they could? For those millions of heavy hearts and tortured consciences, we can only say, thank God for His unchanging gospel of hope. God's Word, God's message of a changeless law and an unchanging gospel spoken through the prophet Malachi centuries and centuries ago is the wake-up call that is so desperately needed in our generation. The program that you are now listening to has been aired for 65 years. Today, we are celebrating the 65th anniversary. The gospel of God in Jesus Christ is always the central focus of every message of this weekly gospel broadcast of hope. God's message of mercy and forgiveness is true in every generation. God's gospel of grace never changes. God's changelessness applies to His law and also to His gospel. God's divinely instituted basic principles of life give decency, stability, and order to any society. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt honor your parents, and so on and so forth. These basic teachings of God's Ten Commandments have always been and will always be the underpinnings of any stable society. Now, throughout history, there have always been popular philosophers, influential academics, and starry-eyed ideologists who have tried to discredit and even dismiss any universal standards for morals and values. As a sworn enemy of the Christian religion and one of the founders of utopian socialism and communism, Karl Marx tried to discredit morality as no more than, in his words, a phantom formed in the human brain. The atheist Nietzsche called morality the herd instinct of the individual. By saying this, Nietzsche claimed moral values were for animals only and not fit for human society. The Bible states very clearly God hates all sin. God's judgment thunders against sin. But all those who are sons of Jacob, those who turn to the Lord Jesus Christ in sincere repentance, they will not be consumed. They will not be rejected by God. This is the glorious and liberating truth of God's holy gospel. My friend, God is speaking this same gracious message of hope unto all of us today. And God wants to help you. God loves you with a special, unchanging love. God also wants to reestablish your life upon the solid rock of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. With your life firmly anchored unto the crucified and resurrected Son of God, you will then be enabled to face the storms of life. With the clear teachings of Christ as recorded in the Bible, you will then be enabled to sort out the misleading propaganda of secularism. In the Bible, you and I can read about these hope-giving words of Jesus when He says, "You shall know the truth, and this truth shall make you free." This truth, which Christ was talking about, which will make you free, is the gospel of God. And God's gospel is this: Jesus Christ was crucified on a lonely hill outside of Jerusalem. No one forced Jesus to die. Jesus laid down His life willingly. Jesus offered His life as a worthy and bloody sacrifice upon the altar of the cross. And when Jesus suffered and died on the cross, God the Father saw the cruel suffering of His Son, and He was satisfied. God's wrath and judgment directed toward us as sinners, because of our sin, has now been turned away. It has been deflected. The bloody sacrifice of Jesus Christ has appeased the wrath of God. This is the good news of God's gospel. And with this good news of God's gospel, the good news of perfect forgiveness, you can now also begin to live a new life of hope. In the sin-cleansing blood of Christ, all of your sins have been washed away. Oh, there may be some people, yes, there may be some who will try to remind you of your past mistakes, but God will never do this. In Jesus Christ, God has forgiven you. In the Bible, we read that God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Jesus. This good news of God's gospel always produces a result, either in judgment or in hope. For example, the Bible tells us how the Apostle Paul met the Lord Jesus Christ and was converted on his way to Damascus. Prior to this conversion experience, the Apostle Paul knew God only as a taskmaster. But when Paul met the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, he began to understand God's love. He began to understand God's forgiveness and God's mercy. And instead of seeing God as a grouch, the Apostle from then on saw God as a light of hope, as a hand of help, as a God of compassion, and as a Lord of mercy. After his conversion and after his Spirit-led understanding of God's gospel, for St. Paul, no sacrifice then was too great, no missionary trip was too hard, and no prison chains were too heavy. And so, my friend, let this same gospel of God give unto you also the same new power for living. This power for living comes from the gospel. This is the power of God. And so begin today. Confess your sins and shortcomings unto your gracious Heavenly Father, and in faith, trust in the sin-cleansing blood of the crucified and resurrected Christ. Because when you, by faith, come to the Lord Jesus Christ, then you will also be transformed unto a new life in Him. This good news that you can start over may sound too good to be true. And you may be even tempted to say, this may have been true for St. Paul many, many years ago, but today things have changed, and maybe even God has changed. Oh, no, my friend, God has not changed. This is what our text for today says. And oh, yes, my friend, God is holding out for you His unchanging arms of forgiveness, His unchanging invitation of healing, and His unchanging offer of help. Instead of doubting God and instead of feeling that His promise of help and hope might change from day to day, cling instead every waking hour unto God's unchanging words of promise. Dear friend, the good news of God's gospel for you is this. Jesus Christ has paid for all of your sins completely and totally. This message of total forgiveness for you will never ever change. And because of God's unchanging love, you, in the midst of all your difficulties and challenges, will always have hope. This is God's unchanging promise in Jesus Christ. Amen.
We must be prepared for the fact that today the modern answer to Christ's question, "Who do men say that I am?" calls forth a confusing crash of opinionated claims. Jesus' own answer, of course, is clear and decisive. We hear Him asserting that He was with the Father before the world was, telling men that He came down from heaven, that He is the way, the truth, and the life, that all power in heaven and in earth is His. And in the last hours of His life, when the venom of professional jealousy demands, "Tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God," His words ring out clearly and authoritatively, "I am." There, in God manifest in the flesh, you have the essential Christ, divine and human, the same yesterday, today, and forever, the dominant figure of all ages.
65 years ago, on October 2nd, 1930, Dr. Walter A. Meyer, a seminary professor from St. Louis, preached the first nationally broadcast Lutheran Hour message over the CBS radio network. That broadcast began what has become the longest-running Christ-centered radio program in the world. Today, we remember Dr. Walter A. Meyer and the other men whose voices have been heard on this program over the years. Dr. Meyer's son, author Paul L. Meyer, recalls the excitement of that first broadcast.
Even the pastors were worried because, well, people might not go to church. They'd rather simply sleep away on Sunday morning and with one ear listen to the radio. And so it had to begin on a Thursday night, of all things. And they were able to purchase some time in CBS, 36-station network, on Thursday night, in the height of the amusement hours, at the best possible time for live radio, 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 Central, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific. You just could not find a better time slot than that. And talk about a good lead-in show, it was The Shadow. Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The Shadow knows. The Lutheran Hour following. I mean, I'm sure that... And so the CBS radio executives in New York were pulling their hair out, you know, and that's why they were forcing my father to go back to 9 minutes instead of 19. But all my father did was trim a couple of paragraphs, talk a little faster, and get the message in anyway, as you well know.
That was Dr. Paul L. Meyer remembering the first Lutheran Hour broadcast. These remarks are from a convention speech given this past summer in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Now his brother, Dr. Walter Meyer Jr., provides further insights into those early years.
We sons of Walter A. Meyer are very grateful to have had the privilege of growing up in his home and with our mother also spending those early years of Lutheran Hour history and watching the development of this great program. It was our pleasure also to go with Father frequently to radio station KFUO, where many of the broadcasts originated, and to help with the preparations for the Sunday program. He would come in and take off his shirt and tie, get down to his t-shirt, and do some last-minute changing of the manuscript. We received information from the engineer as to the timing for his message so that we could give him the 3-2-1 cut as he was approaching the end of his presentation. And we always would kneel down for a word of prayer before the program began. He would lead us, asking the Holy Spirit to bless the words which would proceed forth so that it could change hearts and bring people closer to the Lord. He used to say at times, if you ever want to realize that the power to change hearts is resident exclusively in the Word of God, then just consider the average Sunday broadcasting situation. With a preacher standing before a steel, cold microphone, without an audience before his eyes, unable to gesture, unable to change facial expressions and so on, which might help rivet people's attention on the word being communicated. No, it would be soli Deo Gloria if those wonderful things, spiritual blessings, conversions, strengthening of the saints would occur as a result of the Sunday broadcasts.
After Dr. Walter A. Meyer's death in 1950, the speaker's post was held by Lawrence Acker and Armin Olson. Then in 1955, the work of speaker was taken up by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, and for the next 33 years, over the air and in person, Dr. Hoffman traveled the globe as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. This year also marks the 40th anniversary of Dr. Hoffman's being named as Lutheran Hour speaker. And here's an excerpt from one of Dr. Hoffman's messages from the early 1970s.
Where are you looking? To the right or to the left? With other people around you, do you ape their behavior and try to meet their standards? Or are your eyes on the Lord? Be sure to look right at him. He is not an easygoing God. He is quite stern about right and wrong. And he is mighty gracious about forgiving the sins of people who trust in him. A mature sign of faith and trust is acceptance, free and full acceptance of his forgiveness. For thy name's sake, O Lord, said the psalmist, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him will he instruct in the way that he should choose. He himself shall abide in prosperity, and his children shall possess the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord. He will pluck my feet out of the net.
We hope you've enjoyed this brief look back at the early days of our program. May God continue to bless our speakers and our listeners. Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.